Welcome to the Power Press Podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett, and I'm your host. On this podcast, we share information to empower your podcast. Today's guest is John Wilkerson. Welcome.
Thanks, Mackenzie. It's good to finally be on.
I'm glad you're on. Does that mean that you've been listening for a while?
Yeah, I've been listening for a while, and I remember when I think I listened to one of the earlier episodes, and I thought to myself, oh, I need to call Mackenzie and get on there, and I never did, so.
It's okay. You're here now.
I'm here now.
So we've got some tips to talk about, an analysis that someone did for Apple, and then, of course, your show, The Wired Homeschool. Let's just get started. So this first article that I wanted to talk about is called, well, it's titled, I Tracked Apple's Top 200 Podcasts for an Entire Year. Here's what I found.
Yeah.
It was a quick read, so that was nice.
It's a pretty quick read, and I mean, if you follow podcasting even marginally, I think you're pretty aware of these trends. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe someone who's just starting out, this would be good information for them, I think.
Definitely. So their analysis, he set up a Python script to collect all of this data, which I'm sure my dev team would love to talk about, but that doesn't really mean much to me. But to track all of this, he did that, and then he found that society and culture, comedy, business, and news and politics are the top categories in all of iTunes, which really, you're absolutely correct, really is no surprise.
No surprise there. And I think what probably is the most surprising to me is that education wasn't a little bit higher. And the reason being is because I've seen a lot of business podcasts. Mm-hmm. They also list their category as education as well.
Yeah.
And so you do see business podcasts creep in, not necessarily in the K through 12, which is a segment that my podcast is in, but if you go just to the top of education, you see Pat Flynn, you see Michael Hyatt and John Lee Dumas, you see all their podcasts.
Right. It's just there. A different form of education than people automatically assume.
Right. Right. And so I'm surprised that those stats didn't bleed, and maybe that's what put it in the top 10 of all the categories. Maybe it is that. But there's also some pretty big education podcasts out there too, which I'm surprised whenever I find out how big the audience is.
But it's great. It's great. I want people to be learning about education.
Yeah.
And discussing education. It's such an important thing. It also mentioned how as each segment grows, that means another segment is declining. That's just the ebb and flow. That's how it's going to work. So they said it looked like for the year that society and culture was on the rise and that news and politics was in decline. So that those two were kind of going off of each other. I guess things have kind of slowed down politically, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that by the end of 2017, people were pretty burned out with politics.
Yes.
And so by then, I think everyone who was marginally interested in it probably has stopped listening by then. What I did like and I found was interesting was, I mean, it's to be expected that business podcasts grow at the beginning of the year. That seems like naturally that would happen because people who are starting a new business might do it at the beginning of the year and might start listening.
Everyone is motivated, but, yeah.
Right, right. And in the summer, you have TV and film because all the huge movies come out in the summer, right? And then in September, there's a jump in sports, which is when the NFL starts.
Yep.
It's very predictable how it happens. Because it's going to go with how, in the U.S., how the political season goes, how the entertainment season goes. What I'm thinking, this sounds a little crazy, but so if you want to start a sports podcast, I'm thinking you want to start it in the middle of the summer.
Get a little traction.
You can get all the people who aren't who are hardcore listeners and mm-hmm. will share, and you can get a little bit more traction as the season comes on, right? Right.
Yeah.
The same thing with TV and films is start before the summer.
Mm-hmm. Start out simple with, movies start in like April and May of like the action-packed blockbuster type things. So yeah, get a head start on it. You might as well.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
The article ended on basically saying that think about how the world works. Think about what your audience is going to want. And, you know, it is somewhat predictable. So take advantage of that.
Right. Right. And I watched the stats for my podcast
mm-hmm.
Pretty closely, and probably too closely, some might say.
That's okay.
And I've noticed that there's seasons to when I get a lot of traffic, because what's pretty interesting is even though I'm a male host, my audience is predominantly female, because predominantly women are homeschoolers.
Mm-hmm.
They're at home homeschooling most of the time, and so they're listening to my podcast. And so as the school year, there's usually a bump starting around August, and then it'll drop off into the holiday season, and then in January, when they're back at it homeschooling, it spikes back up again.
Yep.
And it'll usually stay pretty high through most of the summer, because there's also homeschool conferences and conventions that people go to.
And I'm sure people are preparing. Right.
They're interested in that. They're preparing for that. And if they're interested in a speaker that I've interviewed in the past, they might come across that person's interview or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very interesting to see how that it kind of ebbs and flows.
Yeah, that makes sense. That definitely makes sense. So lots to think about for people, but, you know, it's just pay attention to what your genre is going to be doing. So good information,
yeah.
Probably definitely best for newbies.
Yeah, good for newbies. And also, if you're thinking about changing the genre or the theme of your podcast or starting a new one,
mm-hmm.
this would be a good article to take a look at.
Definitely.
So you know when you want to get in and when you want to, you know, kind of get things started.
Right. There's, you know, you can start whenever, and there's nothing saying that you shouldn't do a podcast, but this kind of gives you an idea of what to expect and potentially your competition throughout the year. So,
right.
I'll put that article in the show notes, but it was, I tracked Apple's top 200 podcasts for an entire year. Here's what I found. A lot of good information in there. So next up, I wanted to talk about your show, The Wired Homeschool. So you've been involved in tech for quite a while, and then you've been homeschooling as well for many years. So tell me why you decided to start your podcast.
So when I first started podcasting in August of 2005, I was actually going to start a homeschooling podcast. But what I found out was there were a lot of tech-averse homeschoolers. It's not necessarily that they didn't want to use technology in homeschooling,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't have iPods, they didn't have MP3 players, they didn't really have a way to listen to it. So after about three or four episodes, I switched focus and did another podcast until 2010,
mm-hmm.
when I started The Wired Homeschool.
Wow.
And so that other podcast ran simultaneously at one point with The Wired Homeschool. I think I've done total hosted it's been about seven podcasts that have come and gone in my podcasting career, if you will. You know, probably close to 2,000 episodes. I did one podcast for a charity. I did it for an entire year, one episode every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty grueling on top of my regular podcasting. So, but I've done a lot. And when I started noticing that homeschoolers were getting more and more interested in using technology, and as I was talking to other homeschoolers that I knew, and they were asking me questions, how do I do this? What about this?
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, now there's a need. I probably could have started it a couple years earlier. But I think overall I got in at the right time. A few years earlier would have been better, but as you know, it really just came out of my desire to merge homeschooling and technology. And it was a little early when I started, but eventually folks got there.
Took a little bit, but you know, they show up eventually.
Yeah. Yeah.
So your show focuses on helping people with the digital and the technology that they might not otherwise consider as people that are homeschooling their kids. Is that right?
Right. There's that, I, you know, practical advice for people. And I'm starting to move a little bit more into the STEM environment, mm-hmm. where saying, hey, here are things that you can use to teach these STEM topics. And the interesting thing is, you know, up until like 5 years ago, nobody called it STEM. We were doing it. We were teaching those things. There just was an idea to kind of focus mm-hmm. your education on it. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm starting to focus a little bit more on here are some things that you can use to teach STEM, as well as awareness about technology. And a big thing right now is parental controls. If you're at home and you have kids who are on the internet constantly, how are you going to manage that screen time? Yeah. Because if they're using the computer for their education and then they're also getting some free time, how are you going to balance that? What kind of tools are there available for parents? What kind of online curriculum is available for parents and things like that? So there's a lot to it. It's multifaceted. Mm-hmm. And maybe if I niche down a little bit more, I could attract a different kind of audience, but I really like staying as broad as possible.
Right. What's one of your least favorite things about doing the show, though?
Oh, probably my least favorite thing is writing the blog posts that go along with the podcast.
Yep.
you know, I've been homeschooling for 17 years. And I've been in IT for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. So most of this stuff, I can read an article or I can just kind of talk off the cuff about a topic. And while that might be great for the audience because it's natural, it, you know, it flows right. well.
That's great podcasting content. It's not great
for a website. And I can't afford to pay for someone to transcribe what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So I have to at least have some kind of general outline there for people to go off of when they come to the site, because I find that more than anything, people are coming to my site for articles that are there, and then that brings them to the podcast.
Oh, that's great.
So I have a couple of what they call them cornerstone articles, I guess, that get a ton of traffic. And in the sidebar is always, hey, here's the latest podcast. Here's, you know, you can listen to it right here on the site while you're here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's one of the things that kind of blows people away. The stats are starting to change. This is what I love about Blueberry, by the way. The stats are starting to change. But for a while, the primary media player that people listen to my podcast with was Windows Media Player. because when they were in Internet Explorer and they were listening to the podcast, it uses the Windows Media Player.
Right.
And so like 40% of my audience at one point was using Windows Media Player.
So that was
And
nice
it was the
know.
Largest proportion. It was completely inverted from what everyone else was seeing. Yep. So most people were seeing, you know, iTunes or an iPhone, and then Windows Media Player was way down at the bottom, but my stats were completely inverted.
I mean, sometimes that's critical information of how you put out your show notes and stuff like that. It's because people weren't just finding you through iTunes. A lot of the, you know, where people will find shows a lot of the time, they were finding you because of your content and the blog posts that you had and the SEO that you were getting. And then they would listen to the episodes as well.
Exactly. Exactly. Which is why, you know, people don't often realize how much just one extra blog post a week will do for their podcast. Right. It is amazing how you have this one article. I have one article that's probably responsible for about half the traffic to my website. And it's because of that article, people are finding out about my podcast. And the interesting thing is it was a guest post that was written years ago and it finally picked up traction.
Yeah.
and has just been, the stats for the last year and a half have been off the chart compared to the rest of the things. So,
you know, happy endings for things like
that. Yeah, happy endings. I've been trying to get a hold of the guy who wrote it to get him to write another one for me.
Right. there's nothing wrong. I think a lot of the time people want to put out their own content constantly on their website, but you can add those guest things. You can flesh out your website with more stuff on it, because if it's going to bring people to your site and be able to find your podcast, then all the better.
Right. And I'm good at writing an article, but I'm not good at writing an article that Google likes.
Oh yeah.
Right. So that's where I struggle with the blog post. And so, which is why I look for one guest post a month. And it helps a lot when it's another, if it's a mom, especially, mm-hmm. that's a homeschooler, because now if they've got a homeschooling blog, then they can point their audience to my blog and my podcast.
All comes together like that.
Yep.
It does. You've been podcasting for a very long time. I know you're using PowerPress on your website. How long have you been using PowerPress?
Oh my goodness.
Longer than I've known about it. I can basically guarantee that.
Yeah, I've been using PowerPress for at least, how long has it been out? 10 years?
10 years this summer.
Yeah, so close to 10 years.
I can guarantee that you know more about PowerPress than I do, just because you've been through all of the iterations of it.
Yeah, probably since it came out. Because I actually wrote years ago, I wrote an article for, there was a very popular free podcast host that was shutting down like in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it was at the end of the year during the holiday season.
Oh yeah. I remember my team had to deal with that. They told me about how that happened.
Yeah. And I wrote an article on how to, go through with a particular WordPress plugin and do a find and replace.
Oh yeah.
So you didn't have to go to every single post that you had and change where it was hosted. And this was years and years ago. And I remember Todd retweeting it and linking to it so that people could find it and say, good. Hey, if you're moving to Blueberry. And I think that's when I moved to Blueberry, when that happened.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't hosting with Blueberry at the time.
I'd be surprised if you were actually hosting anywhere.
I was hosting with that company.
Oh.
My site was hosted with them. And so that was what said when I said, okay, I need to pay for hosting because I don't want this to happen to me again. And so that's when I switched over to hosting with Blueberry.
So you're a long time Blueberry customer then. I didn't realize you'd been around that long with us. So thank you.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, no, thank you.
So, okay. Since you've seen all these different versions of PowerPress, would you say there's something that you are happy was added, or something that you are happy or that you're sad was taken away, or anything like that?
I wouldn't say that I'm sad. There's definitely nothing that I would say I'm sad that was taken away.
Mm-hmm.
I think as things go along, you have to get rid of some of the features. You know, if you've only got 1% of your audience using a particular feature, you need to get rid of it because it's just slowing down the plugin for everyone else who isn't using it, because you're adding the feature in there.
Very true.
As far as what's been added, I think probably one of the latest things that was added that I like the most is the podcasting SEO stuff that was added. And I think you guys worked with Daniel J. Lewis on that. Did you or didn't you? I can't remember.
We consulted with him. I believe how much we worked with him, I'm honestly not sure of.
Right. So those are nice. You know, being able to specify a different title for your episode and things like that has always been nice, because sometimes the SEO that you put in your blog post is so you can attract Google, but if you're in iTunes, you want to attract people differently.
Yes.
Through a catalog listing.
Yeah.
So that's a great feature that I like. And I like the changes that are starting to be made to the audio player. The only one thing that I'm waiting for is that API integration with like Twitter and stuff like that, so that Blueberry, when you just post a link to your Blueberry, a direct link to the file, it'll play right in Twitter.
Right.
I don't think you guys do that yet.
We do the post to social, which you have to, like, which is only an option if you're using our hosting, but you can set it up so that it automatically goes to your Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube to like actually play in those,
right?
In those things, but really, yeah, that is our version of that.
Yeah, but that embedded player is just, you know, that I look with envy over at the Libsyn folks who are posting direct links to their to their Libsyn hosted files, and it automatically has a play button right in Twitter or whatever, but I'm sure it'll get there. I'm sure Angelo and the team are hard at work determining.
We're always thinking of something like that. So
I miss the days when you could post a link to an MP3 file on Facebook and it would automatically show with a play button. That was years ago.
I know, things have changed dramatically.
Things change
quickly. So okay, is there anything else you would like to share about your show with anyone before we move on to the last topic?
I don't think so. I mean, I've done a bunch of different podcasts, and The Wired Homeschool is kind of my flagship podcast, if you will, right now. There's another one that I'm thinking about starting, but if I do, I'm going to have to drop something. So
understandable.
there's just not much time for that. So if you're interested in homeschooling, or you think you might be interested in homeschooling, or if you do a lot of educational things with your kids after they come home from school, I have what I call them after schoolers. Mm-hmm. I do have some parents that have kids in private or public school that listen to my podcast to get ideas for things to do with their kids.
Yeah.
So, or to get advice about, you know, like I said, those kind of parental control and monitoring type things for their kids. So feel free to stop by thewiredhomeschool.com at any time and check it out.
Okay, great. Thanks for sharing.
All right. Thank you for letting me.
Mm-hmm. So I want to move on to the next topic, our last topic of the day for this episode. And it's an article from early February titled, "It's All in Your Head, The One-Way Intimacy of Podcast Listening." So
yeah,
this talks about being on a round table podcast, which includes, you know, multiple people being involved, all talking at the same time, and not necessarily all of it being planned out, because when you have that many people, it's obviously there's going to be some ebb and flow there. But I just wanted to give you some tips about how to do this and, you know, how to do it possibly better or before you get started. So I think a lot of these are quality, but also some that are pretty obvious, but new podcasters might not think of them.
Right. And the interesting thing that I found most about this article was the setup to it, about how the author talked about how the listener becomes friends with the podcast producer, and they don't even realize it's happening. And I remember the first time that happened to me when I went to a homeschooling conference and people walked up to me and they said, "Oh, you're John Wilkerson from The Wired Homeschool. I listen to you every week and I feel like we're friends."
Nope.
And the first time it happens, you go, "Okay, weirdo, step away. We're not friends."
You know? And then it happens then couple more times.
Right. And then it happens a couple more times and you go, "Oh, so something's going on here."
Yep. Something's working out.
And it really is unless that listener interacts online, it is a one-way friendship, which is why I always encourage people who are listening. I say, look, you got to send me an email, whatever, leave a comment on, let me know you're out there. So that if we ever do run into each other, we can build that relationship and it's not a one-way, weird, stalkerish kind of thing.
Yep. Yep, it can happen. So, okay, the six topics that they had. The first one is like each other. Definitely a good one to have and something that I don't think you should overlook.
No. Definitely not something you should overlook. It's one of the things that I like. The podcasts that I listen to that have co-hosts, mm-hmm. oftentimes the people are either, they're either friends and they're there right in front of each other and they can see each other and they're podcasting, or they've known each other for years.
Yeah.
And maybe they got separated for whatever reasons. And that is just, it really helps the chemistry and it makes you feel like you're part of that friendship that they have.
Mm-hmm. It makes you feel like, you know, you're actually part of it as opposed to just listening. That's part of the reason why people love podcasts so much.
Yep.
So, okay. That is the first one. Second one is kind of taking this down the other road, is like each other, but potentially don't love each other. So they're kind of giving you a recommendation of maybe don't do a roundtable podcast with a significant other because you might not be able to be as honest. You might take the arguments home with you or something like that. You might take the opinions farther than they need to be for what would be a quality podcast.
You know, I get that, but some of the earliest podcasts that were some of the huge hits mm-hmm. were by married couples.
Yep.
And I think it was those couples that were, if a couple is open and honest when the microphone is off, then it's okay for them to be open and honest when the microphone is on. But if there's something going on there in the background, maybe you shouldn't be podcasting with your spouse. If you can't be open with them in private and you haven't set ground rules on, okay, this is okay and this is out of bounds with your spouse, then you really, maybe you shouldn't podcast together.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's something that in your gut you would know probably if it's a solid idea or if it's going to end poorly. So that's kind of what they're recommending of, you know, be able to call each other out and keep it fun and active on the podcast. But, you know, if it's going to be an issue in your real life, then don't do it. So,
right.
So keep that in mind, people. Number three.
Yeah, keep that in mind.
Was prepare.
Prepare, which yeah.
is any single podcast ever, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so. And I think more so for a roundtable or for a discussion type podcast. It's one thing if it's just one person who goes off on a tangent. Mm-hmm. But when it's two people and then you go off on multiple rabbit trails, then that can really lead to an unfocused podcast.
It can get out of hand pretty quickly that way.
Right. I think Dave Jackson says it best: two dudes, one brain in a basement or something like that. when he describes some of those podcasts,
yeah, you know, that's they're not kind prepared. Of how some of them feel. Like,
right, they start out. So, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, you're the host.
And maybe it's a shtick, you know. Maybe for some of them it's a shtick and they come on and they say, what are we going to talk about today? Because that's kind of part of their thing. But I think, honestly, there are some where mm-hmm. that really is.
That is what they do.
They just turn on the mic and start and go.
Yeah. The next topic was, but leave room for discovery, meaning don't prepare too much. Don't have all of the answers. Be able to have these, you know, these discoveries while you're speaking to someone else. It doesn't need to be a fine-tuned, like, this is exactly what everyone's going to say. This is how we're going to go from one topic to the next. It can, you know, have a little bit of spontaneity involved. So,
right. That's very important. And I think even with interview type podcasts, mm-hmm. that's important as well. You hear so many people who do interviews and they just, we're going to stick to the script and we're not going to talk about anything else.
Right.
So they have to get through their five questions or whatever because it's, you know.
That's their format.
That's their format. So yep. we gotta ask these five questions of everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the last sentence of that number was, it basically says just listen. So
right.
Very solid. Right. Number five is be yourself, but better. So kind of in a sense, try to have this be, you know, the best part of you coming out. Don't have this, and that includes the being prepared, the knowing how to have conversations and what buttons to push and what not to push with the people that you're going to be on the round table with, and listening skills and, you know, actually knowing about the content before you get started and everything. So it's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And, you know, not just being yourself, but one of the things that they put in is a distillation of yourself. Mm-hmm. So something that's sharper, cleaner, and more efficient.
Yeah.
You can be yourself, but don't ramble on, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So on that note, let's go to number six.
edit.
I like it.
Definitely edit.
Yes. With a round table, there is so much that you can cut out that is not going to be pertinent to the audience whatsoever.
Yeah. There are a few exceptions to that rule, I think. Mm-hmm. But I think what has happened so much is just like how people have a script and they over-prepare.
Yeah.
They also have this attitude of, well, it's live to the hard drive. I'm not going to edit because I only want to do this one time. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't always work in every instance.
I agree.
Especially when you're first starting out. And I think what happens with a lot of people is they go through some course or something and they're told here's how you podcast and here's how you can do it in 30 minutes a day. And you don't have to worry about it taking too much of your time. And so they record a bad podcast instead of editing it and realizing, okay, I went a little bit too far here, or there was a problem over here that, mm-hmm. that I can correct. And then what happens is down the road, because you're editing out those mistakes and you're hearing them, you do it naturally on the fly when you are recording to straight to hard drive. Very true. You have a lot less work to do.
You learn from your mistakes as you edit. So then you have less mistakes right. in the first place, which means you don't have to edit as much.
Exactly.
You're saving yourself time and energy is what you're doing.
Right.
Great advice, especially for people that haven't been doing this format before and that have maybe, you know, this is going to be something new for them. If they've been doing a podcast before, then they're familiar with editing, but maybe the style that they were doing before didn't require a lot of editing out other people, or they're just not happy with how it's sounding. And, you know, that's what you do. You edit and you change it up until you're happy with what you have.
Sure. The one thing that drives me nuts, and maybe you've seen these, is when people, you have a roundtable discussion, say about a television show, mm-hmm. and the episodes discussing each of the TV shows is twice as long as the TV show itself is.
That is hard to stomach.
And I'm thinking to myself, really, do we have to have everyone's opinion, mm-hmm. even though it's the same? Mm-hmm. There's four people there talking about it, and they all basically say the same thing four different ways. Pick one or two of them and move on and edit that out.
It gets tiring very quickly.
Right. There's no reason to have a 2-hour and 15-minute podcast about a show that's 47 minutes long.
No.
It's just not.
I completely agree. So that was from NPR. That was from early February. It was called It's All in Your Head. So go ahead and look that up. It'll be in the show notes as well. So, John, thanks for being on the episode with me today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mackenzie.
Okay. Everyone, thanks for listening. Please subscribe, and we'll be back in 2 weeks. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
This is Sean Thorpe from the Blueberry Support Team with this week's Power Press Tip. If you've ever looked at the very bottom of any page within PowerPress settings, you've probably noticed the Advanced Options menu. By default, this menu is displayed with a plus sign next to the title. Click the plus sign to open the menu. You'll now see a list of 11 checkboxes that correspond to different features available within PowerPress. This week, we'll do an overview of these options. Before we continue, it's important to proceed with caution when using PowerPress Advanced Options. Do not check any of the boxes in the Advanced Options menu that aren't already checked. Doing so could alter how PowerPress works on your site, and that could lead to confusion and other problems. Looking at these checkboxes, you'll see the first five are permanently checked. You can't turn them off. They're available to all PowerPress users by default. The first option is Import Podcast, which allows you to import an existing podcast, usually from another website, into your current WordPress site. Mackenzie and I actually talked about the import tool on the PowerPress podcast on April 24th, 2017. Listen to that episode to learn more about it. The next option is Migrate Media. This is for users who are looking to migrate their existing media files to Blueberry Media Hosting. The third item in the list is Podcasting SEO. You can use this option to improve your podcast SEO on your website and in directories like Apple Podcasts. The fourth option is for the audio player that comes with PowerPress. Here you can choose your preferred audio player, and depending on which player you choose, you can customize how it looks on your site. The fifth option is for video player. This is similar to the audio player option, but is for video files instead of audio files. Next, we come to the first option you can manually switch on or off, custom podcast channels. Custom channels are one of the ways you can run multiple podcast feeds through a single instance of the PowerPress plugin. Which brings us to the next option, category podcasting. This is another method for running multiple feeds through a single WordPress site with the PowerPress plugin. The eighth checkbox in the list is Metamarks. At this point, you can pretty much ignore this option. Metamarks is a protocol that was developed by Blueberry a few years back that sort of works like podcast chapters, but Metamarks wasn't widely picked up by the podcasting community, and it really isn't supported anywhere. Next up in the advanced options parade, we have boxes for both taxonomy podcasting and post-type podcasting. Again, these are options that can be used to create multiple podcast feeds using a single installation of PowerPress. Post types and taxonomies within WordPress can be very complex. You should only enable these options if you know for sure that your situation truly calls for them. Finally, we have the PowerPress playlist player option. Enable this option if you'd like to generate a playlist-style player on your website using the PowerPress playlist shortcode. If you'd like to learn more about any of these options, they're all covered in the official PowerPress documentation located at create.blueberry.com. I will also be covering many of these advanced options in future segments. And that's it for this week's PowerPress tip. If you have any questions about this or anything else in the Blueberry universe, email me, Sean@blueberry.com. Also, be sure that you're signed up for the Blueberry Monthly Newsletter, where we will soon be featuring informative articles from the support team. Until next time, thanks for listening.